It's a crowd that's full of Christians. They've been Christians for their whole life. And I'm like, they should preach for me. They have more experience than I have. And they've heard all these sermons before. And then I'm just, what do I have to give for them? And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I have nothing. And just give me something that I can give for them. But today it was a bit different because I'm not preaching here that regularly, and I was thinking, still the same process. I'm like, Lord, I hope that you can give me something that I can share, and it's for building up Christians in their on their journey, on their walk in Christ. And this is where the idea of the sermon came up. And I take this 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's the passage or verse here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this concept of getting born again, the old has gone, and the new the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we are a new creation in Christ. And this is not, I would say, clear to when you find Christ, or Christ finds you, and you start your journey following Christ. This whole concept might be, it's not that clear to you. Because this world, what it feeds you, it feeds you the idea that we are fixing ourselves, or we're getting better every day. In a sense, we're getting this ourselves. We're kind of building up. We read these self-help books and all this kind of. We're adapting new techniques, or we're kind of building up for this us as human beings to kind of better ourselves. But in Christ, we start from clean, like we start from the beginning. It's kind of whole another concept that old has passed away, and the new has come. And this, to kind of get a grasp of it, kind of understand it, that we are a new creation in Christ. And one of the first steps that you do as a Christian, or you should do, is you take a baptism. And that baptism, it represents that you bury that old self there, and with Christ, and then you walk with Christ, and you build and you grow in this new creation. Not the old self. And don't get me wrong, your flesh and your the old self over there, you drag it through this whole Christian journey. It's there. It's coming. And if you don't aware of it will rise up. It will rise up, and it will it's easy to go back there, but when you're walking in Christ, you're intentionally keeping it there. You're keeping it there. You don't let it rise again. And this is the idea that I wanted to talk about, that our new identity in Christ, that we. And through Apostle Peter's life, Peter is a good example of Christian that became and he started following Christ, but there was still a lot of hiccups. There's still a lot of things he needed to learn, and he needed to go through, because it's not when you're born again Christian, you start as a baby. Then you need baby food. You need milk to get stronger and kind of understand. You need ABC to learn, and then you grow in your faith. And this platform, this church, this should be the place where you grow up. Not just get baby food, baby formula, the milk, but proper food for when you grow up, when you grow in your faith. You get some stronger food, or you learn more and you grow up. It's a different concept. It's not like this in this world that you better yourself. It's through Christ that change happens in us, and the and it starts there in John 1:12. If there's anyone here that's never met Christ, This is for you, and it's a good reminder for us who've been following Christ a longer time. So John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. So we become children of God, and then we start this journey. We follow Christ, and if you see Apostle Peter, he's one of the my favorite characters in the whole Bible, because it's so interesting to follow his journey, and we follow him. He was an uneducated fisherman from Galilee. He spoke different dialect than Jews in Jerusalem, but God chose him to lead the first Christians and tell gospel to Jews all around the Roman Empire. And he went through this journey with Christ about 3 years. He was one of his closest disciples. He got to witness all these miracles. He heard Jesus speak and teach and watched closely Jesus. But in the end of this three-year journey, he failed miserably. He denied Christ in when he was taken by the soldier. He followed there. He was afraid. He was full of his own strength. He wanted to guard Christ, but he failed in that. But in after that, when everything was fulfilled, what Jesus taught to Peter, that you'll deny me until the rooster sings, and he remembered those words, and then he was crying, but after all that, Jesus came back and resurrected. He showed himself for the disciples, and then Peter himself, he came. Peter went back to fishing. Peter went there, and Jesus called him again after his failure. That gives us everyone hope that even if you fail, God can still use you and have a great plan for your life, even if it doesn't look or feel like it. God can still use you. God can still have a plan that you never expect. Like after this, what happened to Peter? Peter, Jesus called him again, and they started praying. They were expecting the Holy Spirit. They were expecting blessing from the Lord, and their day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came unto them, and preaching, and the like you said, the Peter was the leader of that first group of Christians. Peter there, he preached for crowds that you who denied Christ. The man who denied him is preaching the same message to crowds, and crowds are coming to Christ in numbers. There were 3,000 that came, and then a lot later. And Peter started, like, there was a turning point in Peter's life. It was a day of Pentecost, and then after that, he was fully walking in Christ. He was not walking in his own strength anymore. And how we, as Christians, we struggle with this many times. We want to solve this problem. We have this plan, or we're like, oh, this is too small for God, or we don't ask guidance, or there. Then we're like, just God bless our. We have this plan over here. Just bless this plan that we go through. It's we still want to walk in that old us. Our own strength is, and it's sometimes, like in Finnish culture, it's rooted there. Like you make your living, and you solve problems, and you do. It's you who solve these problems that come along. But it was Peter was completely changed, and here I'll take. I don't have it on slide, but here on Acts 3, there's an example of how Peter and John, Acts 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. So here is the same Peter that denied Christ. Here he's saying, "I have nothing. I don't have riches. I don't have everything. But I have this Christ. I have." And then he lifts him up. And Peter was really walking in his in the steps that God had laid for his life. He was walking in Christ. It was completely different, Peter. Not walking in his own strength anymore. And Peter, later on, there was a persecution coming, and Peter fled to, there was a God's plan in his life that he fled. He went to a different part of that region, Antioch over there. And then from there, like in 30 years, he served the Lord. And he ended up in Rome. And from Rome, after 30 years, he was one of the leading brothers in the whole Christian world. So in Rome, he writes these two letters for the known congregations in different cities. And now we go on those letters. There's Peter, 1 Peter, and 14 and 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. So Peter, after all these years serving churches, church, serving Christians, serving, walking in Christ, this is these two letters he writes to the Christians in that time. And those times there was a lot of persecution happening. It was coming. There was Emperor Nero over there. That there was a lot of persecution happening, and it was coming. Next 200 years, there was emperor after emperor. They were persecuting Christians. So he's writing to this known Christian world. And what he's writing is about how your Christian identity, that you walk in Christ, and how do you do it? He was practical too. How do you do it? How you walk in this following Christ? And here he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And so that there was a lot of Christians that came from paganism. There, they were following idols, and they were not all from true background. A lot of them were from all kinds of worshiping all kinds of idols. And now he's saying that don't walk in that same and. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So that's for us as Christians, that we have those things in our past life. Then when we come to the cross, we start a new life, and we don't go back there, that life anymore. And then here, 1 Peter 2 and 1 to 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And here we are. We've tasted the Lord is good. And now we should crave this pure spiritual milk to grow in our faith, to grow in our new creation. And maybe this is, for some of us, it's clear as day. Of course, we've been following Christ, and I know there was a turning point over there. But it's good to remind. And even Peter says over here, I repeat myself here. I speak these things that you might already know, but I want to remind you that this is important. Like when Jesus was walking with his disciples all that 3.5 years, and then the Last Supper, in Gospel of John, there's these chapters that kind of, it's only in Gospel of John that what Jesus wanted to say after all those years, what was important, that you love another. And then Jesus was talking about a lot of that. There's Holy Spirit that comes and gives you power, and it's good that I'm going away. That Holy Spirit can come and go with you. And so here is similar thing with Peter. Peter reminding Christians that what I've learned throughout these over 30 years following Christ, I want to remind you for this, that you know you get rid yourselves all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies. Crave pure spiritual milk, and you may grow up in your salvation. And that's what it's all about. When you walk in Christ, you get rid of you might realize that, oh, I'm not perfect. And you might realize, like in last passage, last verse, be holy like your be holy because I'm holy. You might feel that I'm not holy at all. Then, like today, we're going to the table of communion. It's a good reminder for us that even if we've stumbled, even if we've failed, we can go there, back to that cross, and go over there and get rid of those things. Leave them there. Repent. And then start following again. Start walking in Christ again. And the thing is that when you get saved, if you don't do this, if you don't go you're saved, but your faith doesn't, it's there, it doesn't grow, kind of if you're not feeding yourself in a right way, you die in malnutrition. You need the right kind of ingredients, nutrition for your faith. And here, church is the platform where we get fed. But the other thing is, dig into your Bible. Just be consistent. And there's great programs like ETS. I know there's a lot of members here that have done ETS, that you learn, you're discipling yourself, and then you become a disciple who makes other disciples. And that's when you're growing in your faith. And then you don't, like, there's this concept of that I've come across many times. It's like, hey, there's somebody that you should talk for him. It's like, there's this guy who's, you know, you should talk to him, that it's he. But we are all disciples. We are all followers of Christ. And then what does it mean? It's that when we grow in our faith, when we walk in Christ, we become at that point that it's us that we can share the gospel. We can lead other people to Christ. We can be part of that. That we're not babies anymore. That we don't know. We have our ABCs together, and then we can grow. And there's this. That I don't have in slide, but I think this 2 Peter, Peter writes another letter, and this letter is time of historians say that this is the time that exactly same time that Rome, there was a big fire in Rome. Like 2/3 of Rome was under fire, and there was a lot of references to Sodom and Gomorrah and things burning, and so. But we don't. It's the same time. Peter's there in Rome, and he's writing this letter for the same crowd, same churches across the known world there. And I think this second letter of Peter, first chapter, and there. It's growth in Christian virtue. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So he called us by his own glory and excellence, and he's granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we have all these building blocks for our Christian life in Christ. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So here, Peter is giving these really practical advice, is that if we follow Jesus Christ and we follow these, we will be fruitful and we will never stumble. And he was writing a letter to the time of persecution happening. So it was about that your Christian identity, that you become a fully Christian, you walk in Christ, that you kind of highlight it in your life. It's not just there in the corner or not there like nobody knows it. It's there. It's easier to be Christian if you're full-on Christian. Kind of your identity in Christ should be your new creation. That should be that what you highlight. You're like, in that time, there was a lot of people that they were not Christians. Christians, they were part of kind of, other people thought there was part of like Judaism. It's part of like a group of Jews that are following Christ. It was like like the whole world did it, like they didn't fully understand the Christianity. Today, Christianity is widely known. There's a lot of different version of Christianity. You follow this, and you go this church, and there's a lot of different, and there's a lot of that like self-help type of positive thinking, and a lot of that into like that. You kind of take only the positive message over here, and you focus on what's positive, and there's success, and kind of and it's I'll take Matthew 16 24-26. I have it on slide. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. So Matthew 16:24-26. Next slide. It's the interesting thing is this is exactly there was a Peter before this. Jesus was asking his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" or "What people think I am?" He said, "People were thinking that you're a prophet or you're somebody." And then Jesus asked, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter says there that you're the Son of God, and then Jesus is saying to Peter that you're the rock that I'm gonna build the church, and I give you the Jesus said to Peter, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. But from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. And then the same Peter, he took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned on and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not settling your mind on God's interest, but man's." Here, Peter was still on his own strength, and his interests were on man, but not God's. But later on, he picked up in the... then here is what Jesus is saying. Discipleship is costly. It's this Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And this is not an easy message, that we need to pick up our cross and follow him. It's not all about success and positive things. It's about losing our own plans and own life, and we in Jesus we can find true life and meaning and purpose in life. And sometimes we don't see it, doesn't feel like it, but he has the best intentions for our life. And I never thought that I would preach in English in different country, but here I am. I didn't know this would happen, and it's humbling, and I hope that, like today here, you, even if you are new Christian or old Christian, that you, through these words and this message, you get something, the milk you need to build up your faith, or the meat and bones that you need to build your faith, and a good reminder for you that, hey, that old self over there, we need to keep it there in debt in Christ, and now we walk in Christ. And here we go to the communion table, and this table is for those who've they've had this experience, they've met Jesus in their life, and you've started following him, and this is Lord's Supper. It's like Jesus, he set an example that he was baptized, we should get baptized too. And then he said this, and here Paul is saying, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 26, and if I can ask Hank and Jim, if you come serve me with the communion. And here, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he has betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And today we remember his death and what he did for us on that cross. And Jim and Hank, if you can bless me.